I was born in Buffalo, New York, into a Polish Catholic family, and even though there were some many issues to deal with, I really appreciate that I was kind of submerged in Polish culture, and we had a lot of traditions. We had foods, we had celebrations, holidays, and folk dancing and Polish singing in church. And my parents were bilingual, and they, as time went on, mostly fought in Polish. But if we went to visit their siblings, my aunts and uncles, they'd all be speaking in Polish. I never thought of it much until I got closer to adulthood, and I just started to appreciate that so much more, being part of that and having those roots and being very grounded in that. There are five kids in my family. I was the second oldest, and my father was an alcoholic. Somehow, I don't know how, he managed to keep his working class job the whole time I was growing up. But he had, he was in World War II, and he never resolved the death of his brother who was killed in the war. I mean, never, like till he died. He was watching World War II clips on TV, hoping that he'd see Teddy. And you know, and this would come up as a theme sometimes when he was intoxicated, and his family also talked about Teddy like he was a saint. And I remember one time somebody in the family said, you know, Teddy wasn't really a saint. And then we realized that he might have been a little bit of a philanderer and what else. Anyway, but because my father drank and my parents fought, like every week pretty much for sure, or anytime there was some family thing that had to be dealt with, like one of us kids needed something or had to go somewhere or whatever, there'd be a big blow up. And so it was like always tense.
This is not about you. Just do your business.
Leslie, mute.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. So I think I kind of grew up with that sense of having to be careful and be cautious and not wanting to set people off. And I would notice people having these interactions outside the family, and I think, oh, they shouldn't say that. That could make somebody mad. Or, oh, they shouldn't do that. That'll make somebody mad. And, then later realize that was just like my stuff that that I still have some of that codependency a bit, which, sometimes isn't a bad thing. It's a certain skill for getting by in situations, but it's not a good way to live. I also felt like because of what was going on with them and also because of their, I think they were like second generation in this country, and the way they practiced Catholicism, that their view of the world was kind of narrow. And so there I am out learning things and discovering things and meeting people. And even like at a really young age, I felt like I could never tell them about this, or I could never tell them about that, or I could, and like even in first grade, there was an incident that happened where this girl told me something about her family. And it wasn't really a big deal, but to me it was sort of horrifying, and I just felt, oh, I could never tell mom and dad about this. And in that moment I got this profound sense that I would never be able to deal with what life put in front of me. And so I think I still have that chronic feeling that I can't figure stuff out sometimes. I mean, I've gotten pretty far, but when I get stuck on something, then I revert back to that sense of, you know, I'm overwhelmed, I can't figure this out, and there's no one to help. And it kind of stuns me that these different situations I'm in now, that I still have that going on. So with all that happening in the family, I learned to use food really early in life. And I have memories of snacking and just trying to numb out. And at age 10, I had this thought that this is like a disease. So somehow I had that awareness that something was very wrong, and I had the first step right there that I knew I was suffering from something that seemed bigger than I was. And that eating lasted, for the rest of my life. But part of being raised Catholic was learning all about miracles, and I really believed they would happen. And one of the things that I hoped for was that I'd somehow be rescued from my dysfunctional family. And even though there was a lot of love and affection, there was, I always felt trapped there. And so I sort of prayed for a rescue of some sort. I did well in school because I could get good grades and do the work. And also I was, for people who haven't met me, I'm like 5 feet tall. And of course in grade school, much smaller. And I was always the smallest one in class. And, you know, people like stuff that's little and cute. And so I had good grades and the nuns loved me. And so I got all this recognition. People wanted to be my friends. I didn't really have to do much. And as I moved on in life, I realized that being smart was only going to be get me through a certain point, and that people skills that I didn't have very many of was really going to be what was needed. So I felt grateful because I got scholarships and I was able to, go through graduate school and have a career in nursing and holistic practice. But there was still that piece that I felt like something is off here, something is missing. In my teens, I started drinking and went out with people who looked older than I did. And I can't believe that I got served, being 5 feet tall. I'm sure I didn't look that old. And because the people I was with looked older, they just sat the drinks right in front of me. And there we were. And then later, in college, started also using marijuana, LSD, smoking cigarettes, other pills. I moved to Colorado in 1975. And by then I was probably 30 pounds overweight. And I still did a lot of exercise. But because of what has unresolved in my family, I went to this treatment program for codependency, and they referred everybody to ACOA meetings. And I think I went to two meetings and realized I will never deal with my food problem in this group. And so I switched over to OA, started working the steps, didn't really work with a sponsor, but I went to a lot of meetings, and I had already lost a bunch of the weight, but it kind of just helped me be honest with myself and to be accountable to myself. And I got on a food plan that worked for like a very long time. Can't remember exactly how long. Then I moved to Alaska and did this bike trip. That was for 12 days. And when you do a bike trip, you kind of have to keep eating because you keep moving. And we were eating a lot of power bars that was like not on my food plan for a very long time. And then I started to, my abstinence just unwound further and further. I think it was in 2008, I had this experience where I started a binge that I just opened the refrigerator and started eating, and I wasn't intending that. It only lasted 10 minutes, but I knew I was like way out of control. And so came to a meeting, got a sponsor, started working the steps, lost a few pounds that I gained before that. Got back on my food plan, which is basically three meals a day and some snacks, but no sugar. And then the last few years I've been gluten-free, and trying to be low carb as much as possible. And it's not real rigid, and but it's worked for my lifestyle that's sometimes not well organized. I exercise every day, I meditate every day. But as I get older, and it still feels like a challenge to figure out how much and what to eat. Feels like I'm getting indigestion from things that have never bothered me before, and I eat the same amount, but I feel over full. So still a work in progress. So sometimes I feel like I haven't gotten very far, but I know that with things like not eating sugar, that I do recoil from it as if from a hot flame. And I know that it'll just make me feel bad. And I have a lot of diabetes in my family, so that's motivating too. There are a lot of times when I'm not thinking about food, even though there's a lot of times when I am thinking about food. It's kind of remarkable because when I was growing up, we had sweets all the time. I mean, my mother would bake, and it was just always dessert. Things like that to eat, and so it feels kind of remarkable that I conquered that. Anyway, through my life, I've always had a spiritual belief system that I could hang on to, and the energy healing work, healing touch, is also based in spiritual framework. So I appreciate that. I guess I'll share this one story. A few years ago, my sister and I decided to take a trip to Belgium where my Uncle Teddy was buried. That was my father's brother that the whole family never got over losing. And we thought, okay, we're gonna say goodbye to Teddy. And I could probably still cry about it now, but so we went to Belgium to this American military cemetery that was there, and of course learned a whole lot about that. And it's just a very moving experience being there, and the person that welcomed us to the cemetery and told us things and played taps and gave us a flag and thanked us for our sacrifice. We just wept. I mean, we thought we were going to go and see the gravestone and, you know, chat a bit and then go home. And it was like, we were like, we were just lost and sobbing. And really realized how much that grief of the family was in us and how much sadness that we still carried because of that. And obviously I'm crying now, so there's still not completely resolved, but we've tried to do that work. So it's with much gratitude and humility that I share my story and appreciate all of you listening. I was kind of reluctant to do this, but it is healing to say it all. So thank you very much.